From Streamline Publishing, the Radio and Television Business Report, our friends at Radio Inc. and HispanicAd.com. Welcome to another great edition of the Hispanic Radio Podcast. I'm your wonderful host, Adam Jacobson, and we thank you for taking time out to learn a little bit more about the power of Hispanic media, in particular Spanish language radio. This is a great way for radio companies to maybe take that one odd apple in the cluster, put on something targeting a underserved population in your community, and really profiting from that. And that leads us into a great topic of discussion for this podcast. And with me to discuss the power of Hispanic radio from a sales perspective is Angie Balderas. And she is based in Sacramento, California, and she is the Senior Vice President of Integrated Marketing Solutions at Entravision Communications. Hi, Angie. How you doing?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We are here as we go into the fall of 2018, looking at advertising in two key segments, if you will. One is, of course, political. It's shaping up to be a very interesting year when it comes to the November elections, the primary season, and now the actual general election, the midterm elections in November. We also are looking at automotive because we've been seeing some interesting things on a national level in terms of the activity on television, but not so much on radio. So I want to start a little bit in talking about political from the advertising standpoint and the importance of flowing political dollars to Hispanic radio. In your organization, is this happening? Is this something that's been only a trickle, or are you seeing the flow of political as you think it should be coming into Hispanic radio?
Well, I would say, you know, in reference to political, the biggest thing is if the races are competitive, regardless of whether it's a local race, a state race, or a federal race. So kind of like in the big picture of the United States, obviously you have states like Florida, like Texas. Right now, would you have the race between, you know, Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke? I think that's going to be interesting. Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, and California. When you look at California, per se, one of the things that kind of, I would say, dampened a little bit our prospects as far as from the governor's standpoint, we have a top two. And so we ended up with John Cox, which is a Republican, and then we have Gavin Newsom. Newsom is so far ahead, he's probably not going to spend any money. Whereas if Villaraigosa had gotten in, it would have made, I think, a much more interesting race. So it all comes down to how competitive the races are. You know, specifically in California, we have some competitive House races. In one of the areas that I manage, I have one of the top competitive races, which is the Denham Harder race. That's for that's in the Stockton-Modesto area. So you look at places like that, then you're starting to see the candidates and the committees to spend money. Initiative money in California is always based on the constituency. We look that there'll be some money for that as well. But, you know, political is now kind of becoming a 24, you know, hour business in the sense that you really have to work the campaign so much in advance to be able to get the dollars. Because once we're like at the point we are now, it's just they don't have time to talk to you. You really have to do some work in advance. So in the off year elections is really when you do your groundwork for political.
So would that then suggest that as we go into the latter weeks of September, it might be too late for a radio station to start asking for that money because it's already been allocated?
No, it's never too late. I talked to somebody just this morning. In fact, I was typing that email and ready to hit the send button. This is a campaign. This is another congressional race. It's not as competitive. The Democrats are making good run at it. I think it's one of those, like, you know, we're going to try to make a good run at it. And so I had a conversation with somebody and they said, you know, send me some information. We're interested in doing something. And then the conversation was, you know what, after this general election, let's sit down and let's start talking about 2020. That's why I'm talking about that. It's, you know, it's not just these it's not just during the primary and the general election. It really is working in advance. But I would say, you know, there's also all the local races. You've got sheriff's races, you've got city council, you've got education races. I think, you know, so beyond the big races, the ones that get all the headlines, there's dollars there to be made at the local, you know, at the local city level, county level, state level as well.
And are those dollars coming into at least the Entrevision stations in your markets that you work in, or is that something that is still
a continued
challenge?
Well, I mean, it's a continued challenge in working, you know, political clients are like any other client. They do what they're kind of used to, although they've become more digitally savvy, but they still do a ton of direct mail. They still do a ton of broadcast television. And radio has been, in general, has been kind of like that next step after they've done those two, you know, kind of the extra dollars. But I, you know, I think that that's changing a bit. You're starting to see some, you know, different campaigns, and certainly there's some, there's been some disruption. You know, a lot of the younger candidates are kind of blowing up some of the models. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how far a lot of them get. I mean, some of them have been successful, like in New York, like Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she was very successful, but you know, she had a contemporary. I could point out a contemporary here in California that almost ran kind of the same campaign and was not successful in making the primary. So it really does. You know, Tip O'Neill was right. All politics are local. You know, you gotta really see, you know, where there's opportunity. And, you know, as a broadcaster, you gotta also see where your opportunity, do you have a story to tell? And a lot of times we do, we have stories to tell. We just have to tell them.
You mentioned direct mail and then radio being that quote next step. It's interesting to note, I'm based in Florida, and for the primary election, my mailbox was just littered with ad after ad after ad, to the point where I didn't even look at half of them and they all went in the garbage. So is this part of perhaps an ROI story that radio can tell to literally cut through the clutter and have a message delivered in a way that people are going to perhaps listen to, resonate with,
so,
and then go out?
You know, the conversation that I referenced earlier today was with the head of a committee. And we were talking about that, and I was specifically talking about the area where I live. And this was a contested race about, it was for a state office a couple of years ago. We literally got, like you said, tons of high glossy direct mail, full size, print size, vote for me, this person's terrible, this. It was a six-way race. And in that particular district, the Hispanic population was 12%. And I made the comment, I said, you know, even if they would have just put some of the direct mail even in Spanish, they probably would have done themselves a favor to stand out from the others. But so, yeah, I think we have a story. But again, it's back to that having to get in early and talk to some of the campaigns, because, they, you know, like I said, political clients are not any different than regular clients. They do the things that they're comfortable with, the things that they are familiar with, and that's, you know, they pull that voter registration file and they say, you know what, we're just going to direct mail these people who are, you know, likely voters, and we're just going to go after it. And so if we can show them, whether it's radio, some of our digital products, that we can do just as good a job, or maybe even tap an audience that they're not looking at, I think that's where our story's at. But again, it's like having those conversations early on in the process.
And early on in the process, a lot of companies will put a dollar amount in terms of their projections and their goals for what political will bring. And for a lot of the public companies, that political money will greatly impact a quarterly earnings report. Now, in Sacramento, you have a very interesting cluster because you have Hot 103.5, which is a certainly Hispanic radio station, if you will, but English language rhythmic top 40. You have the country station 101.9 The Wolf, and then you have two stations that are clearly going after a Hispanic audience. You have Jose and Radio Tricolor. So given that dynamic, are you getting what you thought you would get as a company in terms of the ad dollars? Are there companies, or I'm sorry, are there campaigns rather that would look and go, well, you have a country station and then you have other stations that are like kind of going after a different audience. We don't really know what to do. Just wondering what sort of feedback and,
well,
and where you are.
I will
are
tell you, I will tell you just level. In general, in Sacramento radio in general, as far as political advertising and, you know, on the broadcast TV side, obviously the NBC affiliate is the big dog in the city. And in terms of broadcast radio, it is still the news talk stations are, you know, you'll for every 10 ads you hear there, you may hear one, whether it's on my station or Intercoms or Bonneville's or even one of iHeart's other non news talk stations. So the fact that they, you know, they're starting to look at non-news talk, but it's the real slow vote to China. I mean, we've had it. I'm not in this cycle, but I would say in the last cycle, we did have one candidate for state assembly that, you know, that did some advertising on our country station. And we may get some like city, I have some avails out for some city council stuff in some of the rural areas, but Nothing to really write home about in terms of on the music station, not just my station, just any station in general. I think that our political sale on the Spanish side is probably a little bit stronger because we're definitely going after an audience that most people don't target with their regular general market.
You had mentioned KCRA Channel 3, which is the NBC affiliate owned by Hearst Television. So how do you compete against that? Or are you not really competing against that? Are you additive? Are you going after a different audience? And it's just a matter of convincing the campaign that it's not additive. It's something that is part of the entire media plan.
Obviously, we look at how much campaigns are spending, and that gives us a good gauge as to, you know, how they're spending. And sometimes it hasn't happened yet in this cycle, I say the word yet, where, you know, the whole break will be vote for me, my opponent is horrible, and then it'll be six or seven or eight spots in a row with each candidate going back and forth, whether it's themselves, the committees, PACs supporting them. And at that point, you just get, you know, people just want to shoot the TV. And I think sometimes in those cases, we have opportunities to go to the campaigns and say, look, you know, shave off a little dollars over here and try to get some other folks that you're talking to the same people over and over and over and over again. But like I said, this is what they know. This is what campaigns know. So they do it, you know, they do it over and over again. So.
Okay, well, we have maybe 2 minutes left in this podcast, and I did want to bring up automotive because it's such a, again, like political major focal point when it comes to advertising, and companies such as Entrevision, I'm sure, looks to auto dealer associations throughout the year to boost its advertising. So what can you say very quickly in these final moments of this podcast in terms of how you're group is doing with automotive, if there's growth opportunity there still,
well,
or
there's always room
you're hitting
for more.
The marks.
And I would say that, you know, there's still, it's still, you know, pretty healthy automotive market. I will say that there was some concerns, like maybe at the beginning of the year, and this was really coming from the car dealers as to, you know, what the potential tariffs might do to the automotive business. Certainly they're looking at, interest rates rising, that increases their cost of flooring. And so those are kind of potential headwinds against the business, but right now they all seem to be doing well. We continue to, you know, go after new new dealers, dealer associations. You know, you have auto manufacturers like Subaru, who now is all of a sudden looking at the Hispanic market as a growth opportunity. And then you see, you know, you see brands like Toyota, who had a big jump in this market in terms of market share. And then you see other brands like Nissan and Ford that have been down. So you see, you know, brands that are up, brands that are down. So I think it's, you know, I don't think that there's a one size fits all. I will say that one of the things that I've noticed over the last few years is that car dealers are certainly getting more sophisticated in terms of their plan to attack the Hispanic market. You know, it used to be where like, oh, well, they got one or two salesperson. They got Juan and Jose and there's our guys. And, you know, just go and just work out the spot with Juan and Jose. And that now they're really integrating a lot of their dealership with, you know, finance. You know, we just recently had a CNA meeting with a Toyota dealer. This was down in the Stockton-Modesto market. I mean, this dealer had a sales team, had finance team, had a service, receptionist spoke Spanish. He really built out his team. We're seeing a little bit more of that. There's kind of a little bit more of an organized effort of, if we're going to go after the Hispanic market, we're going to really try to get all the touch points to do that. So, I mean, I'm optimistic. You know, it's still, automotive is still a big chunk of our business, broadcast business, radio, television. You know, we're really tied. We're tied at the hip, you know, how they go, we go. And so, you know, they're still projecting, you know, pretty good growth, but you know, there's some potential headwinds, you know, if, you know, the trade wars go up, you know, that, you know, they kind of see maybe the used market picking up, which is not necessarily bad for them because they have better margins on used cars than they do on new cars. So, There's still meat on that bone, I would say, as far as automotive goes. There's still meat on that bone for the Hispanic market, for sure.
Very positive words as we conclude this podcast. Good to hear that at least Entravision, there is some growth opportunities and there are some dollars flowing when it comes to both political and automotive. So with that, I want to conclude by saying thank you again to Angie Balderas, the Senior Vice President of Integrated Marketing Solutions at Entravision Communications, based in Sacramento, California. And based in Boca Raton, Florida, this is Adam Jacobson. I'm the host of the Hispanic Radio Podcast. We house them at rbr.com and at hispanicradioconference.com. And on that note, we invite you to attend the 2019 Hispanic Radio Conference at the Intercontinental in Doral. Why don't you make a plan now to join us March 12th and 13th. Again, all the information and to register, visit hispanicradioconference.com. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.